Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Strong Mom Podcast. As always, the Mighty Mamacita is behind the mic. And today I have a very special guest. I am talking to Liz Craven. She is from Australia. You know, she likes to claim that she's more muscular and younger than me and funnier than Megan Hinchley. But we all know that I am younger than you.
1 year. My butt's bigger, though. Come on.
Your butt is bigger, so I will give you that. But in all seriousness, number one Australian lifter, am I correct? Pound for pound, number one is ranked as women, correct?
Male and female.
Male and female. Well, excuse me. Shit.
Let's not forget that.
And one of my good friends and also one of my fiercest competitors in the IPF, I think we've gone back and forth three times now. So I think it was you beat me, then I beat you at the Arnold, right?
We had South Africa Worlds we met. Yeah. And then
Colleen. So you beat me in South Africa. You beat me in Colleen, didn't you?
Yeah. And then you've beaten me ever since. Let's not talk about it.
Let's just talk about the victories. But
remember the time you were world champion and I got silver? It doesn't hurt me at all.
Good times. But I really wanted to talk to you because I think it's interesting, you know, it's funny because you went from party girl to power lifter, and all the times that we've like had meets and been together at like world meets, I've never partied with you, yet I always see the Instagram stories that Liz still has the party girl down. Can you talk a little bit about how your story with powerlifting? Because I know that you started powerlifting a lot later in life, and kind of, you know, what got you into it and just your backstory.
All right. So I was a terrible party girl. I was partying about four nights a week. I was working retail, hospitality, and I moved to Canberra. And by chance, I joined a gym. And they at that gym, they gave you a free PT session. And I started PTing with a guy that was brutal. And he got me into CrossFit. And I found out very quickly that if I was partying with a hangover, things ended really badly. So I started pulling back on my partying, and all of a sudden I realised that I was strong compared to the 70-kilo girls doing CrossFit. I was holding my own with them, even though I was about 50 kilos. And so I could lift the same, and I started doing a strength program. At that stage, I didn't even realise that powerlifting was a sport. I was one of your people that were part of the CrossFit religion. So everything was CrossFit. I was paleo. I did the zone paleo, you know. And I managed to get to regionals, which up until that point, I was about 35 years old then. I had never competed in any sport at all.
Like ever?
So, never. I mean, when I was in high school, I was an art nerd and just read books. So I had no idea that I was strong, not until I started doing CrossFit. And it awoke, when I started doing the CrossFit competitions, it awoke this monster inside me of competitiveness. I had no idea how competitive I was until I started seeing that I might win. And I was crazy about it. My whole life revolves around it. And then I got to regionals 2010, and my aim was to get to regionals again 2011 and get to the CrossFit Games. And I accidentally got pregnant.
Darn those accidents.
Which ruined all those plans. But that was fine. I started doing strength again, and my strength coach, I was purely doing strength to get back into CrossFit, but my strength coach told me that my lifts were good enough to get to nationals in powerlifting, which was this obscure sport to me, and I thought it'll never be the same as CrossFit. But I went to a competition, and it was just the same, except I didn't want to die in between each workout, and I was good at it. So because my Wilks was, even though I was competing against heavier girls, I could beat them because of my Wilks, etc. and I didn't have to do row sprints. I didn't have to do wall balls. So I found the sport, and the camaraderie was just as good. Like, we're just as friendly at the back. And so I stuck with that. And actually, for about a year, I didn't really train very hard. I was doing a kind of a West Side program where you only deadlift once a month kind mm-hmm. of thing. And I managed to talk my way into going to Worlds in Russia. Were you powerlifting then?
What year was that?
I think it was 2012, 13, maybe 13.
Yeah, I was the year after, I believe. 2014, yep.
Okay. And so I went to Worlds. I was still a massive noob. I hadn't even squatted over 100 kilos before that. And I met Mike Teixeira there. And I met all the Team USA. LS was there. Mm-hmm. And the Russian coach actually told me that if he trained me, I could be one of the best squatters in the world, which I thought it was crazy. But then when I got home, I thought, why not? Why not have a crack? And so I put all that obsession that had been into CrossFit, I put it all into powerlifting. And I started training with Mike, and I started getting better and better.
And
here we are.
And here we are. And
the podcast.
And by this time, you already had Abby.
Yes, I started. I actually started doing an actual powerlifting program 3 months after having Abby. I was terrible. I was a terrible lifter, though. It took me a long time to work out how to actually lift properly.
How was that transition, like, coming from CrossFit, not having kids, and then switching over to, like, a, you know, different style of strength sport right after having a baby?
I was actually still trying to do some CrossFit for a while, and in the end, so, you know, as a mum, at first you try to do everything that you were doing. Well, I did. I tried to do everything, and then after a while you just have to go, well, this doesn't work because I have a tiny human that is depending on me. So I ended up, what I found hard was the breaks, having the breaks between sets, that kind of thing, coming from CrossFit. But lifting worked much better for my lifestyle. I could actually go out to the garage. Leon built me a gym in my garage, and I could go out and train there at 10 o'clock at night or whenever I had a space, you know,
yeah.
And I could still coach my clients out of there as well, which was good. So I got all my clients lots of my clients have been with me for 12 years, and they've been through CrossFit with me. They all had to do CrossFit. Now they're all doing lifting.
So basically now if you take us up another sport, they're going to be doing that next too.
Yeah. They're hoping I don't do marathon running, you know.
So how do you stay motivated and kind of still in it to win it all of these years later? I mean, you know, even though you came from CrossFit to powerlifting, it's still like a pretty good time span of lifting, being consistent with lifting. And, you know, as you get older, you know, sometimes your motivation can wane, or like even just, you know, we'll talk about this later, but just changes now going into a different fed and not having, like, you know, the cool people like me that you get to compete against that push you to do better on the platform, those people not being there, how do you still staying, like, you know, staying in it to win it?
Yeah, that's actually been hard because I was so completely obsessed after South Africa. I had a really bad meet in South Africa. I sucked, actually. My deadlifts, I only got one of them. That sounds like Worlds last year.
Actually. Right?
My Worlds.
I blame the slippery bar.
Oh, yeah, it was slippery. But I got completely obsessed, and it's very hard to maintain that level of obsession. You know, you have to be extremely selfish, and it's exhausting. And my biggest thing was that I wanted to prove to everybody and myself the potential I had. Until I got to that point when at Oceania's, I managed to get the total world record, etc., all the things that I'd been wanting to get. And after that, it was actually really hard to get motivated again. For me, I had to go back to the very basics, just how much I actually enjoy pushing weight around, the feeling of it. And the things I hate are cutting weight, because I always have to cut weight. And I hate the jealousy and all that sort of thing, you know, which girls or people can have against each other. Those are the things that would make me want to leave the sport. But every time I've just come back to what it is I actually enjoy, and that is lifting with my friends. Like, I would love to go and do another competition with you, because we have so much fun out the back. I remember even in South Africa, you and I were dancing out the back.
Yeah, that's one thing that I loved about, you know, like I told you before, the not having you there, not having Kim Walford at Worlds this year, just the tone of everything in the back was just so different. It was just not the same. And it sucks when, like, the usuals aren't there anymore. Just the people that you get along with that make not only competing fun because they push you, but make it fun because you guys get along in the back. I think, like, for me, one of the coolest memories I have of you is, I believe you suffered some sort of neck injury, and you had already planned a trip to come down to the Arnold, and this was before it was on the Rogue stage. And I just admired you for the fact that you still came out. I believe you only took the bar for bench because you were unable to actually even bench at that time. I believe you were also not really even able to take a very big deadlift because of your grip at that time. Can you talk a little bit about that neck injury and coming back from that? And I know for me, when things hurt, it's so frustrating when you're in the gym. It's frustrating when you're at this level and then you have to bring it back down 10 notches to this other level. But you came back from that actually stronger than ever. So can you talk a little bit about that injury?
So I used to squat. I had a strong squat, and many people told me I needed to change the way I squatted, but I was like, it's strong, I'm not going to change anything. You know, I was quite stubborn about it. And I used to crane my neck a lot. And one time, it was the first time I ever squatted 140. What's 140 in pounds?
140 is 308.
And, it's my neck, a disc bulged forward. And after that, I was doing bench, and all of a sudden my right arm stopped being able to work, like it wouldn't push at all. So it was, the nerve had been compressed. At first I thought I was having a stroke, so that was terrifying because my right arm would work.
Like, shit, I thought this happened at 80, not 38.
Yeah, oh my God. So, I'd already planned this trip. I was going with Megan and Kelly, who are two of my favourite Aussie lifters. And I thought, well, you know, competition is not always about winning. It's about participating and just seeing what you can do on the day. And that we find that over and over. We'll hit things in the gym and we'll get out on the platform, and on the day we might not have that. So it was a great experience. I went and I did the Arnold, and you know what? I had to be quite humble and go out there and lift the bar, and that's also a good lesson for me. So I don't like being humble. But it was good. And I still got to meet heaps of people. And I learned a lot because I spoke to everybody that was there about my injury, and other people had had similar experiences. I went to massage therapists, etc., over in the States, and they tend to know a bit more than the Aussie people over here, although I've found some good people. But the hardest bit was I didn't like being my body turning on me, you know what I mean? It was so frustrating, and I just kept trying to flog it. I kept going back to the gym and trying to test, because my whole right rotator cuff and tricep didn't work at all. I couldn't feel it at all. And so over and over, I was trying to work it instead of resting it. And I went and got many, many treatments. I spent thousands and thousands of dollars. And in the end, just like with the housework after you've had a baby or trying to do everything, you just have to take a step back and
time.
Let it help. Yes. Well, I find that so hard because I think I can control everything.
Yeah.
I think if I do the right exercises, if I do this, I can control it. But, you know, you quickly learn that after having a baby, you can't control everything, can you?
No, you cannot. They take control. But you did make some technical changes. You made some changes in how you set up your squat, how you, I believe, also even how you deadlift as well, right?
Yes. So I now pull my neck back and tuck my chin, and I look down when I squat. And I don't do the whole back arch, crane your neck. I now keep everything neutral and keep my chin down. Not right over my feet. It's all got to be nice and neutral and then yeah. Line.
Yeah, I mean, your squat, like, went crazy.
It did. As soon as I started getting my hips under and getting neutral, all of a sudden my glutes started working.
Mm-hmm.
And now I have the biggest glutes in Australia.
So that is the key to big butt. Hips under bar.
Yeah, hips under bar. And I've got a much wider stance than you too, so I tend to lean over a lot as I squat. I mean, it would be good if I could get my quads more involved, to be honest. So that's my newest thing, is to try and get my quads as strong as my glutes so I can push out of the hole harder.
Yeah.
Because my finishing is easy. Your sticking point is a lot higher than mine.
Yeah.
It's just out of the hole.
I have stupid sticking points. Like, if you make it out of the hole, you should just be able to stand that shit up.
Megan's the same as you. You both are so narrow. And I'm like, well, how do you even do that?
That's because we have long legs. Sorry, short-legged person over there.
I long torso, short legs. Longer. My legs don't belong on my body.
No, well, you know, it makes for a great squat and a great pull, so.
It's true. It's good. It's good for sumo.
So, now that you've, you know, because like I said earlier, you've competed in the PA, IPF, and then there's all the drama with the PA being kicked out of the IPF, and you were very, very vocal about it.
Yes.
And I think I've also told you, like, well, Liz, just tone it down a little bit, because just in case, you don't want to be that outspoken about standing up for what you believe in and just the decision.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Standing up for what you believe?
Yeah. Can you talk a little bit about standing up for what you believe in, the decision to stick with the PA and, you know, go outside of the IPF, and how being outspoken in the IPF in general?
Often my emotions speak before my brain does, and I can get quite angry. I hate things being unjust, and I felt like the Australian lifters, we were treated unjustly. So I had a lot to say about that. We were given no information, etc. I don't want to get into all that.
Yeah.
But unless you want me to, I'll get angry again. But
I don't want to make you angry.
I mean, I just said my piece. By the end, so many of us were angry because we hadn't been given any information. So we were posting up on the IPF page, is there any information yet? And then most of us got blocked on the IPF page. And a new rule got put in the IPF constitution, because I was trying to join South African Federation and New Zealand to try and get to the Arnold, because I was coming to the Arnold to compete. And they put up a rule to block that, which meant that you had to belong to a federation for 3 years before you could live for that country.
Mm-hmm.
And ironically, that rule also blocked Kimberly Walford.
Yeah.
So I was pretty angry. And then I had to, I guess, sit and think, what I'll miss about the IPF is all my friends, like, who I love lifting with. I love the atmosphere. But day to day, I want to live with my friends, you know, Megan, Claire, everybody, and compete with them. And Robert had actually, he's done a lot for me. So I thought, I'll give Powerlifting Australia, which I've been with them for however many years now, I'll see what happens, and that World Powerlifting has started, so I'm going to see what happens with them. They've got some interesting things yeah. happening. New Zealand have just started a World Powerlifting Fed as well, and there's lots of the countries are moving into World Powerlifting, so it'll be an interesting couple of years. I feel like I didn't want to just jump off a sinking boat. You know what I
yeah,
mean?
Yeah, I think, like, you know, we've talked about it enough. Just like as lifters, we just want to lift weights, and we want to do it against the best people in our weight class. Like, you know, I personally don't care what fed or, you know, just the best people on an even playing field, same day weigh in. And it's just such a travesty and a shame that people can control who can compete when we all pay our membership to compete. Yeah. And so this is, I think people are very, you know, deluded to think like we're getting paid to do this. No, we're actually paying to do this sport. So let us lift weights. That's all we want to do.
Yeah. And I got very angry with being used as a pawn. You know what I mean? People trying to get me, because if I went to a federation, probably people would follow me.
Yeah.
And so in the end, I just decided I want to lift with my friends.
Yeah.
And enjoy that. And often when I lift, I have to compete, say, with you, but from far away.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm going to be doing anyway.
Yeah. This is good to know. Good to know, Liz.
Yeah. You just picture me next week, okay? I'm national.
So, I know, like, you made a really poignant post because you found out that you were pregnant. This was yeah. right before what would have been Worlds in June, yeah. right? And can you talk a little bit about coping with loss? And, you know, you have a daughter, and then you had to deal with talking to her about it, dealing with just all the emotions on top of all the stuff going on with lifting. And can you just talk a little bit about that? I know, like, in your post too, which I thought was, like, just really amazing and heartfelt, just talking about, as a woman, you're just, you know, we have to be strong, and you felt like you just weren't being everything that you needed to be.
Yeah. So I did a competition in April, and something felt different. My squats felt weird. Everything felt loose. And I just had this feeling that maybe I was pregnant. So I went and did a test that day, and it had a line on it, and I kept testing for that week, and the line got stronger and stronger. And then I got a blood test. So I knew within 4 weeks that I was pregnant. And it's hard, because when you do it, you're actually, you start picturing your life, you start planning. And after, on the eighth week, I had just done a workshop, actually, and something started feeling wrong. And then I had some bleeding. I went to the doctor, and she said, go have an ultrasound straight away. I'd had one the week before, and we'd seen the heartbeat. And then that day, they couldn't find a heartbeat. And it was a real shock. Like, I kind of, what can I do? I'm 43 years old. Like, I knew that it was a long shot, but I just had a, you know, so much hope. I lost this vision of a life that I was going to have. And I had to tell Abigail, and she just kept asking me to have another baby, and I'm like, I don't know if I can. It's hard, because, you know, how can you do it all? And as women, we're meant to have babies, and also meant to be, you know, athletes or work. And after that, I just didn't feel like doing anything. So after giving up I'd gone out, I'd bought stuff for the baby, I bought maternity jeans, I'd bought everything, and just packing it all up was very sad. It was like saying goodbye to somebody that I'd never met. and seen Leon, so Sad was hard too. But now I'm getting off. What are you doing to me?
I'm sorry.
You're ruining my prep for a comp. All right, so...
Is this a time that you went back to, like, lifting? I know for, like, for a lot of people, even for me, like, that's just kind of a space where it's that 40 minutes or hour and a half, however long it takes to kind of get out of your head space. And even when everything outside of that seems like it's going bad, it kind of helps just reset. And, you know, obviously nothing is going to take away that pain, but it does give, like, just a moment of just time to forget.
Yeah, and it gives you something to focus on again, because I focused on this new life, and also this new life is going to get me away from all those politics and all that kind of thing in the Federation. You know, it was like everything was going to be new. So what I had to do with the Federation problem and losing my baby was kind of... I just had to work out what I enjoyed about lifting again. And it was that. It was going into the gym, doing something purely physical that I feel that I'm good at. You know, I can feel when it works, and not having to think about anything, you know, just doing work. It's so important. And so I started to plan for the future. That's what I had to do almost straight away, is start thinking, well, I'm going to plan some kind of competition again. And Robert wanted me to do World, so I started planning for that, and that helped me. I mean, that's why people say lifting is therapy, because it gets them away from their own brains, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does, because when you have 300-some pounds on 150-plus kilos on your back, like you really have to be in the right headspace to make that happen. So,
yeah. You do. And it can't be any actual thought. All it is, for me, I'm always thinking balance, rhythm, and just push hard through my feet. So no emotion thought except for that adrenaline.
Yeah.
That's all I can feel, and that makes me feel alive. I always feel so much better after a squat session, not before. Before I'm petrified, like, I'm very scared before I squat, believe it or not.
It's funny that you say that, because I think a lot of people look at, like, high-level lifters, or, like, even when I see you squat, and it's just very nonchalant. Under the bar, you're walking it out, and they're really – I wouldn't be able to look at you and go, oh, wow, there's this moment where maybe there was a bit of anxiety. So can you talk a little bit more about that, because your mindset as you go into a big lift or go into, like, a big competition, because that's why I love competing against you. You're just a really great competitor.
What I've found works for me is getting really fierce, because I do have all these thoughts. Like, as soon as I start seeing that bar, I start thinking, what if it's too heavy? What if I can't do it? And what I do is I let that wash over me. I just go, there's that thought again. And then I start thinking, you're Liz Craven. You make your squats. You have been the best squatter in the world at this weight class. You're Liz Craven, you can, and you've done this in the gym. So I start just saying that over and over until I'm kind of in this rage. But confidence, that's why people always say the thing about gangster, which is obviously I'm not really a gangster. But it's like walking up and being cocky to that bar.
Yeah.
Because as soon as you have a moment's hesitation with that on your back, you're stuck. Like, that's it.
Yeah.
It's going to bottom out, right at the bottom, because you're going to forget to push, you're going to forget to stay tight. So you've got to hold it and hit it as confident as possible. Remember that, Marissa. You're going to get 45.
I'm just going to say, I'm motherfucking Liz Craven. And I can squat. And apparently that's all I need to say. And then I think, what did you say the theme song was? You can do it, put your back into it.
Yeah, that's it.
I got this.
We've got strong backs, mate. We've got strong backs. You know, that's also going back to what we were talking about after having the miscarriage, that's what I had to start thinking as well. I'm Liz motherfucking Craven. I can do this.
Yeah.
You know, I can get out of this. I'm not going to be crushed by my emotions. I mean, you feel them.
Yes.
But then you've...
You can't dwell in that space forever.
No.
Yeah.
It's unhealthy.
It is. And I think it's important because you have a daughter. I think it's really important that she see a strong mother. Life happens. You get down, but you get back up. And that's why I think it's really cool that you're also very outspoken. I think it's great for Abby to see that, because a lot of times girls tend to be told, well, don't speak up because people are going to think you're a bitch. You don't want to say what you're thinking. You want everybody to like you. And the reality is not everybody is going to like you, and not everybody should like you.
Yeah. I am outspoken, and I never realized that that could be a reason why people would not like me. Now that I'm more in the public and I keep being outspoken, I'm like, wow, they don't like me. But that's okay.
I like you, Liz.
Yeah, that's what's important. The cool people like me.
Exactly. So
with that, with Abby, there's an award at school called the Principal Award,
mm-hmm.
and it's for being kind and caring. And I said to Abby, because she's wanted this award since the beginning of the year, I said, you know what, you're probably not going to get it because you're too much like me and we argue with everybody. And she was like, all right, yeah, you're probably right, Mum. And then she won it, and she ran up to me going, in your face, Mum. I was like, I'm so proud. I'm so proud that you took what I said, and you went, I'll show you, Mum.
That's a good parenting fail story as well. Like, you're not going to win. You're like me. You're mean and hateful.
Yeah, you are not kind and caring, Abby. That's not you. You're funny.
So... you also do coaching. You do online coaching. Where can people find you if they want to look you up?
So my Instagram is LizPowerLifts, and my Gmail account is LizPowerLifts@gmail.com, or on Facebook, Liz Craven. Yeah, coaching is my favorite thing besides actually lifting.
Well... coaching is fun. It's fun to also, like, when you're coaching people and they start to do well, it's a sense of pride. I actually get more nervous when my clients are competing than when I compete, because it's almost like, well, don't mess up because you're going to make me look bad.
Yeah. And also, it's like that of your child, you know, they're going out there and you really want them to succeed. Often when I'm coaching people from the sidelines, I'm there and my abs start hurting because I'm trying to brace with them. Yeah, it's always bad when they have a bad competition. You can't help but blame yourself, hey?
Yeah, you feel somewhat responsible for it. And, yeah. You know, it's hard too, because, you know, a lot of times it's like you coach the lifting aspect. But I think for a lot of people, they need that, like, mental aspect coaching, which is why, like I said, I think if you don't follow Liz Craven, you should definitely follow. She's hilarious, more hilarious than Megan. And, just also has very good tidbits. I know you do a lot of quick tutorials on your Instagram as well. You've talked a lot about breathing and bracing. And also, I believe there's a few videos on setting up for your sumo, how you set up for that, how you brace and the lifts for that. So you're always my go-to when I have sumo questions.
Yeah, I'm going to do more of those. I enjoy doing those tutorials. But I'll teach you how to bench... All right, Marissa.
Yes, please. Please, Liz. Teach me how you get that, your cheater arch.
Your bench is only 15 kilos more than mine. What's that, 30 pounds? 35 pounds?
Yeah, something like that. I don't know. I it's hard for me to do this quick math conversions, Liz. You got to get with the freedom units. But thank you so much for coming on and for sharing your story today. Again, follow Liz on Instagram. If you're interested in coaching, reach out to her. I can attest we've done two seminars together, or one?
Yes.
Two seminars together.
I've been to yours twice.
Yeah, and...
we did one together.
Yeah.
We should do another one.
We need to do another one when you come down. I also wanted to ask, because, you know, I do this at the end of all of my podcasts, I need your quick story, one of your biggest parenting fails, Liz.
Oh, my God. Well, I did... my daughter, okay, this sounds terrible. Like a tale. This one time when I was training in the gym, And Abby, she was just young, she was three, and she was watching TV inside my house, so I was in the garage, and I'd go in and check, but I was getting through some heavy squats, and I hadn't been in to check for a while, and I was in the middle of a squat, and I started hearing this terrible screaming, and Megan was there with me, and I was like, holy shit, and I rack my squat, and then I go in, and there is blood everywhere. Abby has tripped over and hit her chin, and if there's a gash. God. I'm like, oh, my God, I've neglected my child, and I've totally panicked. I ran out to Megan going, what do I do, what do I do? Megan's like, calm down, just take her to the hospital. So we took her to the hospital. She got a few stitches, but I still feel a lot of shame for that.
It would have been more shameful if Megan would have been like, just put a towel on it, let's finish our squats, and then we'll take her to the doctor.
That's when I had to think, is my lifting taking over my life too much? But, I mean, I hope it was a good example that her seeing me and all my clients lifting as she was growing up. So, you know, she sees what to
do. She made it through, and she's the principal's pick for, you know, being kind and caring. So I think you did a good job.
She's got a good pirate scar on her chin now.
Yeah.
That wasn't too bad, you know?
Yeah, so that's good. Okay, well, thank you guys for listening. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review. And as always, we will see you next Thursday.